We're wrapping up a series today. This is a series that really addresses our mission from God. And in the movie, if you've ever watched the Blues Brothers, then you understand that what they say is they are on a mission from God. Their mission is to save an orphanage that they grew up in. It's to raise $5,000. And how they're going to raise this $5,000 is they're going to get their band back together. And in getting the band back together, they feel like that is a holy thing. It is a holy mission. Now, it might surprise you, but also in 2 Timothy, here's what it says about our lives. It says, "For God saved us and called us to live a holy life." Holy life is not this life that is pure beyond anything. We are all human, and none of us are pure in any way other than what Christ has done in our lives. But this idea of a pure life is a life that is set apart for God, much like what you would see in the clip with the Blues Brothers. It is a life that belongs to God's mission and God's purpose for our lives and how we play in that, how we play a part in that. Let me give you a quick overview, if I can. As we wrap the series up, just so we're on the same page as we end the series, first of all is this: God's mission is about reaching the lost. God has a mission, and his mission is about reaching lost people. Lost is not about where we're at. It's not about our location. It's about our affiliation. So it's not that you're lost because you're not here at this church or whatever. It is you're lost because you're not connected to God. The other thing is God's mission includes you. The idea of reaching the lost is not just a theory. It's not just an idea that God has. That mission includes every single one of us. And then our vision is how we accomplish this mission. So every church is unique. You go to the Bridge, their vision is unique to them, but it's still about the mission of reaching lost people. It's the same with All Saints. Great churches, great pastors, great people. They really are. If you ever get a chance to meet them, man, they are great people. Their vision is different, and it's not that it's wrong. It's just God has given them their vision, and that vision is unique to them, just like ours is to us. So what is our vision? If you don't have it memorized, it's probably a good thing to memorize it if this is your church, and that is this: to creatively love and lead people in a growing relationship with Jesus. That is why we exist here. God has this critical part for you to fill in this mission and how it gets filled out in this world, how we accomplish this vision in our community. Now, you have this idea where you have this mission that God has given to us. It includes us. The vision that God gives us is how we uniquely accomplish this vision. One other aspect to this is called strategies. And strategies are how we carry out the vision. It is, in fact, if you were just to do the strategies, you would be carrying out the vision while you did not know what the vision was. Strategies are intentional actions that help us accomplish the vision that God's given to us. So what we've looked at is this: our strategies. First of all, develop relationships. And what does develop relationships actually mean? It means that we're going to love and be an example and invite others to join us in following Jesus. That is, we're not going to have these surface relationships. We're actually going to love, be an example, and invite others to join us in following Jesus. The other strategy we have is discover partnership. This partnership is about how we do life together. And this is saying this: we're going to serve others on a team and do life with others in connection groups. That's what God's called us to do. If we're able to serve others on a team and we're able to do life with others in connection group, it is going to help us to creatively love and lead people in this growing relationship with Jesus. So the last strategy that we're looking at is this today, and that is we're going to display leadership. Now, as soon as I say leadership, a lot of people get freaked out and they say, that doesn't fit me. That's not who I am. You might be surprised. You might be surprised that it is exactly who you are, whether you believe it or not, whether you think you're a leader or not, whether you signed up for leadership or not, you are a leader. And here's why. Leadership equals our personal growth and our influence. That's what leadership is about. Leadership is equal to your personal growth and your influence. It's what God is doing on the inside of all of us, as we're going to look at today. Our personal growth and influence is not who we are because others are watching. Others are watching because of who we are. It's a big difference in that. And if we're ever going to accomplish the vision that God's given us to do, to be, then personal growth and influence are going to be a necessary part or a necessary element of that. I want to first look, because there's two elements, I want to first look at this first one of personal growth. Personal growth is a natural process for every Christ follower. A natural process. And when I say it's natural, here's what I'm not saying. I'm not saying that it just happens without our attention. That's not true. Personal growth requires our full attention. But some say it requires only God, and only God helps us to grow. And not those same people would say, we play no part in it. But here's the truth. The truth is, it's a result of God's work and our daily decisions. So if we're going to be growing, it does require our full attention. And is it God's work? Yes, but it does require or does include our daily decisions as well. When I also say it's natural, I'm also not saying that it happens automatically. We tend to think that we should grow fast. You're either in or out, and you're either up or down. The truth is, it's a process that takes time. It's a process that includes our choices, that our choices change over time. And it's not that we don't intentionally make choices, but it takes time sometimes for us to make correct choices or to allow our choices to be shaped. I want to read this scripture because it's found in Colossians 2. It's really good. It gives us this picture of what it means to grow spiritually. And it says this, just as you trusted Christ to save you, trust him too for each day's problems. Live in vital union with him. Now, I just want to pause there for a moment because that is a process. Just as you learn to trust him, just as you've trusted God or trusted Jesus to save you, now we've got to learn to trust him with our daily issues in life. That is a process that we learn. Verse 7, so let your roots grow down into him and draw up nourishment from him. See that you go on growing in the Lord and become strong and vigorous in the truth that you were taught. Let your lives overflow with joy and thanksgiving for all that he has done. Don't let others spoil your faith and joy with their philosophies, their wrong and shallow answers built on men's thoughts and ideas, instead of what Christ has said. So we base our lives, we base our thoughts, we base all of this on what Jesus has said. That's what allows us to grow, allows us to grow deep in God. When I say it's natural, I'm also not saying that it happens just because I'm learning more. I mean, we're all learning. This is a process. Nobody is a Bible answer, man. Nobody knows the Bible memorized inside and out. There might be a few people, but I'm not one of them. But you know what? We're always in the process of learning. And just because we're in the process of learning, that doesn't mean that that's what's actually making us grow. Scripture tells us that faith comes from listening to God's word, from hearing God's word. While listening is very important, the truth is that growth is about our behavior and our beliefs. So it's not just about listening and learning our beliefs. It's also about changing our behavior. And if you're going to grow, then your behavior has to be modified. That is the work that God is constantly working in our lives. In James, it says, don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourself. So growth is what God is doing in our lives of every Christ follower, whether you're in China, whether you're in Russia or Africa, maybe even in New York. I think God's growing people there too. I've not seen that exactly, but in your life too, God is growing your life, whether you recognize that or not. Hopefully you do. Philippians 1:6 reminds us, he says, I am certain that God who began the good work within you will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. So the issue is that God is growing you until Jesus shows up again. One day Jesus is going to show up for his church. That is the day that you're going to be done growing. That is the day that you arrive. Until then, nobody arrives anywhere. This is a process, and I want you to write this down. Growth is a process of discipleship. And I only mention this for the sake of clarity, because in this series, we've addressed this issue where we said that our mission that God has given us is this, to go and make disciples. Remember baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son, teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And we kind of get that, but we can't make disciples if we're not a disciple. We can't hand over anything to anybody that we don't possess. And what is a disciple? a disciple, as disciples, we're all learners. We're all learners. Another thing is growth is also the process of becoming. We know it's a process, but the truth is, it's a process of what? Let me read for you out of Romans 8:29. For from the very beginning, God decided that those who came to him, and all along he knew who would, should become like his son. So the issue is, and a good question that we can always ask ourselves, is are you becoming more like Jesus? That is the goal that God has for your life. So it's a good thing to have in front of you. Am I becoming more like Christ? That is a good way to evaluate and to process. Hey, how is my life growing? Am I becoming more like his son? And I want to be really careful with this as I move on, because this subject, growing, can become very legalistic. And I don't want it to be I don't want it to be legalistic at all. For many people, the process becomes a system. And we can't let it become a system that ultimately replaces the goal. We can't let this as a system become more important than the goal. There are so many things that are really good and important for us as Christ followers. They help us connect with God. They teach us to trust God more. They help us to do life with God. Things like prayer and reading the Bible and witnessing, going to connection groups, following the leading of the Holy Spirit, the relationships that you have. And I could talk about how important all those things are, but the problem with doing that is as soon as we start listing these things as they're all important, and they are all important, and they are all good, for some people they become hoops that we have to jump through. In other words, I have to spend this much time praying, I have to spend this much time reading, I have to do this, and I have to do that. And before long, it becomes a list of things we have to do. And whenever you feel like, oh, I have to do this, and I have to do this, you begin to realize, I can't do all of this. So they become either hoops that we jump through or boxes that we check off, and that's what makes it a system. And what happens is we try really hard to check off all these boxes every single day. And then when we get it good, we start looking at others through our system. Oh, they don't read the Bible like I do. And now we become judgmental. That's what legalism does, is it forces us to be judgmental on other people based on our own system, our own boxes, our own hoops. So what is the goal? We don't want a system that's going to replace the goal. So what is the goal? Jesus said, this is the goal. And I'm saying this just to make it as simple as I can. So please understand that that's where I'm coming from in this. What is the goal of spiritual growth for your life and for my life? I would say it's this in Matthew 22, where Jesus says this, you must love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. That is the first and greatest commandment, Jesus said. And the second is equally important, to love your neighbor as yourself. So what we see is this idea of learning and behavior wrapped into both of these ideas. So if we state this simply and clearly, it shouldn't be difficult. Spiritual growth is a process of learning to know and love God, plain and simple. Sometimes we focus on the good things that will help us, and those are good things, and they do help us. But we can't forget the goal. Knowing and loving God goes way beyond our words. It addresses how we live. It addresses what we value. It addresses how we love and what we love. It basically is about who we live to please. Do you live to please yourself? Do you live to please others? Or do you live to please God? That is a basic element in this issue. If we're ever going to learn to know and love God, we've got to address that one question every single day. Who am I living to please? I can't please my wife. Well, she's not that difficult. But I can't always please her. I can't please my kids. I can't please people in the church all the time because everybody has a different opinion. Some people like it light. Some people like it dark. There's so many, everybody has preferences, and you know what? It's okay. But the issue is, who do I live to please? Spiritual growth is also a process of learning to know and love others. And a lot of people think that being a Christ follower is just this personal thing that we have with God. It just involves God and us. It doesn't involve anybody else. And that's a load of something. Growth is a behavior modification issue with our beliefs, which means how we treat others is important. And if we make our Christian faith just about me and God, then we keep others out of it. As we look at other people as they're not really about my spiritual growth, when they are intricately involved in our spiritual growth. In fact, let me read for you out of 1 John. It says, if anyone boasts, I love God, and goes right on hating his brother or sister, thinking nothing of it, he's a liar. If he won't love the person he can see, how can he love the God he can't see? The command that we have from Christ is blunt. Loving God includes loving people. You've got to love both. It doesn't get any clearer than that. So in other words, your spiritual growth, this idea of following Christ, Christianity, is not just this personal thing, just you and God. It includes people. Our spiritual growth is a process of God's character being shaped and developed in us. And character is how we treat others. Let me read for you out of 2 Peter 1. It says this, I'm not going to, I need to read the whole thing, I'm sorry. But it says, you need more than faith. You must also work hard to be good, and even that is not enough. For then you must learn how to learn to know God better and discover what he wants you to do. Next, learn to put aside your own desires so that you will become patient and godly, gladly letting God have his way with you. Now, so we got that idea. This is a connection between us and God. And then it goes on and says, this will make possible the next step, which is for you to enjoy other people and to like them. And finally, you will grow to love them deeply. So you might say, hey, you know what? I just don't like that person. He says, it's a process. Learn to accept them, then you'll like them, and then you'll grow to love them deeply. He says, the more you go on in this way, the more you will grow strong spiritually and become fruitful and useful to the Lord Jesus Christ. So God calls us to love others. It's a part of our faith. It's a part of what God is doing. It's a part of our growth that God is working in us. To make a difference in this world, you don't have to be the best. You just have to care the most. If you're going to ever be a leader, if you're ever going to be an influencer, if God is ever going to use you, you don't have to be the best. That's not the goal. You just have to care the most. Your character is going to influence other people. Most of us, I think, don't see ourselves as leaders because we look at leadership as something that we earn or we deserve because of a long history of walking with God, and we've kind of mastered this thing, so now we become leaders. That's not what Scripture says. Leadership is actually having a heart for others. In fact, you can write this down, the heart of leadership is service. That's what Jesus tells us. Our world tells us that leadership is power. And you've heard that before. When people think of leadership, they think of power. Here's what Jesus says. Jesus doesn't say that leadership is power. Jesus says that leadership is not power over others, but power under others, helping them to succeed. There's a big difference. It's not power over others. It is power under others that helps others. Here's how he says it. Anyone wanting to be a leader among you must be a servant. And he goes on to say in verse 28, your attitude must be like my own, for I, the Messiah, did not come to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. What you see throughout Scripture is easy, that Jesus teaches us to leverage or use our influence for the good of others on behalf of others. We see these kind of qualities in Jesus' example. And here's what Jesus shows us, and I'm going to go through these really quick for you. But this is really important if you want an accurate picture of what leadership looks like and how you are leaders. How do you step into that place where your life is actually giving leadership quality? Your life is actually influencing others. Here's what Jesus shows us. Leaders see in others what they are unable to see in themselves. If you're an influencer, you're gonna help others see in themselves what they cannot see. There's a scripture there, I'm not going to read it, but basically Simon, Jesus calls him to follow him and everything, and he basically tells him, I'm going to change your name from Simon to Peter, and I want you to understand the reason I'm changing your name is because I'm going to build, you are a rock, you are solid, you are secure, and upon you I'm going to build my church. At that time, Simon was anything but that, but Jesus saw in him something that Simon could not see in himself. Leaders speak of the potential of others. They speak of the potential that they see in other people. People disconnected from God, they don't believe that they have value, that God desires them. They can't even imagine that God would ever love them in their current condition. You understand that when we come alongside some people and we are able to say, you know what, God loves you just like you are. He's not done with us, but he loves you in your current condition. You don't have to get straightened up. we're able to help others see their potential. We're being an influencer. Here's another thing. Jesus shows us that leaders believe in others to be more than they dreamed was possible. In other words, we don't have to point out people's faults or their failures, but we point out the strengths that we see in others. We tend to be people that disqualify ourselves. No one knows our faults like we do. And that's probably why we disqualify ourselves. And then Jesus comes alongside of us personally. And he says, I know what you've done. And he says, I know that you're better than that. He says, I know your failures, and I know that those failures do not define you. And he believes in us. That's what grace and mercy are. And that's what we get to give to other people. When we're able to give to other people grace and mercy, they begin to rise to new places. In fact, people will rise to the level of what others believe about them. Your kids, you see this in your kids. If you put your kids down over and over, they're going to become that. If you elevate your kids with your words, they're going to become that too. Here, Jesus, the last one is this. Jesus shows us that leaders will always sacrifice to elevate others. Leaders will always sacrifice to elevate others because that's what love naturally does. Love naturally sacrifices for others. Leaders look for opportunities to elevate others, to make their lives better than what they currently are. And you cannot help but look at Jesus' life and understand one thing. He loved you so much and he loved me so much that he sacrificed his life so that you could live. He died so that you could live because he loves you. In your current condition, he loves you. It doesn't get more beautiful than that. It doesn't get more powerful than that. I want to wrap up our time together. I just want to remind us that this leadership is influence. It's how you influence other people. And influence is so difficult. It might even be impossible to really see our influence. Studies say that even the most introverted person will influence 10,000 people in their lifetime. Because the truth is, people are always watching, people are always listening, people are always comparing. People are always looking at you, whether you realize it or not. People that value you. Here's another truth about our influence, and that is this. People are always buying stock in you. Maybe that's a better way for us to understand it. People are always buying stock in you. Maybe you do something that is loving or compassionate for someone, and they buy more stock in you. They believe in you. They open themselves up for you to influence their lives. They take the walls down. They take the barriers down, and they allow you to influence them. But then sometimes you might explode in anger, or you might say something that hurts somebody, and they start selling stock in you. Our influence is always fluctuating. And the reason it's always fluctuating is because we're not perfect. People are not always buying stock in you. They're not always buying stock in me because I'm not perfect. But here's an important point that I want you to get. Our confidence in what God is doing in our lives is also always fluctuating. The confidence that you have in what God is doing in your life is always fluctuating. It's always going up. All of us know our faults, we know our failures. So when we think, oh, God's not doing anything in my life, it goes down. Then there are some days that we leave church and we're up and we have this great connection with God and we go, man, God is doing so much in my life. It's always this fluctuation that we tend to have. The problem is, or the challenge is, when our confidence is low, most people choose to be passive leaders when God calls us to be active leaders. When our confidence is low and we don't think God is doing much in our lives, or we might not be aware that what God's doing in our lives, what we tend to do is we become passive leaders when God calls us to be active leaders. Here's the active leadership. Jesus says, you're the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your Heavenly Father. Passive leadership, what that says is, my life or my example happens. Sometimes it influences people in a positive way, and that's great. If it influences somebody, then that's great. That's a passive leader. That's not what God calls us to. An active leadership is this. I'm looking for opportunities to influence others. I'm actively looking for opportunities to influence others. The key to influence, the key to leadership, is our confidence in what God is doing in our lives. That God loves you, that God is with you, and that God is working in you. You know, Philippians 1:6, read it earlier. Be confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it out to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. I'd like you to close your eyes if you would. I'm telling you, you might not see yourself as a leader, but God does. You might not see yourself as somebody who influences others, but God does. You might not see yourself as somebody that's growing spiritually, and yet that's what God is doing. And he is growing you to be a greater influence. And some of you might be here today and just go, you know what, I've never really allowed God to grow me. Kind of looked at it and said, hey, if God wants to change me, then it's all up to him. And it's not up to him. It's up to him and you. We have to work with God. Your choices, your daily choices affect your growing. And a lot of times what we do is we just kind of kick back and say, you know what, I'll just leave it all on God. It's not my responsibility when in fact it is our responsibility. I can tell you this, God has great plans for you. If you want a life that really counts, then you've got to have a life that influences others. And you have to take that seriously. If you want a life that does not fulfill you, then you live a passive life of leadership. You just go through life and think, hey, if God was going to do something, that's great. I'm just not going to worry about it. You will not live with purpose. God's called you to a greater purpose than that. And listen, if you're ever going to be a part of what God is doing and what God wants to accomplish through you, you can't passively sit by and just say, hey, you know what? It's not my issue. I got to let God do it. You've got to be a part of those choices. So what I want to do is I want to pray. And I want us as a church to commit to God and say, hey, we're going to not just carry out the mission that God's left for us. We're not going to just carry out the vision that God's given to us. We're going to live these strategies. I want to discover a relationship, and I want to develop partnership. I also want to demonstrate leadership. Father, you see every one of us here today, and you know what's going on in our lives. And first of all, I just want to thank you for every person that is here. I want to thank you because of the influence that they are. I want to thank you because of what I see you doing in their lives. So many over periods of time have grown so much. Thank you for growing us. Thank you, Father, for even allowing us to be a part and to play a part in that growing process with our choices and putting you first. Father, today, I thank you for this church and I thank you for the vision that you've given to us. May we not be passive people that just sit by and think that your plan and your purpose has no requirement on us. But Father, help us to take responsibility for what you've given for us to do. And Father, today, it's my prayer that every single one of us in this room would stop living passive lives and understand that our influence is great, whether we think it's great or not. And Father, that our spiritual growth is important, whether we think it's important or not. It's what you're doing in our lives. And we've got to come to the place where we accept what you're doing and accept who you've made us to be so that we can live as you've asked us to live. Father, may you make every one of us the leaders you want us to be. May our growth reflect you. Father, may our influence also reflect your Son as you are shaping us to become like him. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.